everyone. Welcome. I'm Carrie L., and this is Carrie L.'s HeartLink Show. And as I connect to as many hearts as possible, we are creating more freedom, light, and love, one interview at a time. My programs will bring you insights into the Great Awakening that is underway on planet Earth as we approach 2012. I'll be keeping you abreast of the latest tools available for anchoring a greater and healthier reality into your life. I'll be interviewing leading-edge experts in the metaphysical, scientific, paranormal, and spiritual realms. Stay tuned for the next hour when I speak to Janine Just. And if you're interested in understanding this current economic storm that we're in and learning about economics and navigating through this economic reset, then stay tuned and listen to our show. This should be quite interesting. I'm looking forward very much to this. But first, let me introduce myself. I am Carrie L., and I am a coach and transformational counselor, and I offer counseling as well as classes at the HeartLink Institute in Oceanside, California, as well as online. And I'm looking forward to the wonderful workshop coming up on December 6th. It's called Good Vibrations Seminar, and it's going to help to help people to learn who they really are. So go to my website and learn about that, and that's heartlinkinstitute.com. Also learn about the Oracle deck that I created using the crop circles, and it's called the Crop Circle Cards. And if you go to heartlinkinstitute.com, you can learn about that. Now just take a deep breath and relax and let the sacred love flow through you now. And the blessing of the day comes from the Gayatri Prayer. Let us focus on that effulgent light from which the whole universe is projected. May this inner sun enlighten our minds and hearts, and may we awaken as that light. So good things are coming your way. And I will be also taking calls at the bottom of the hour if you'd like to call in and ask Janine your questions about your finances. By all means, do so. And the 800 numbers are there on the internet for you to call, and I'll mention them at the bottom of the hour. But first, here is this wonderful visionary success strategist that I have had in my life now for, well over a decade, and she's been helping me in my business. She is an entrepreneur's advocate, and she's highly respected as an inspirational speaker, awareness facilitator, author, and founder-director of the Visionaries University. Welcome, Janine.
Thank you. It's so good to be here with you today.
Well, I'm so glad you're here, Janine. And you have been an inspiration to me over the years. And I'm just so glad that you can share now with a large audience today about what you know. You have such a vision of some great things coming our way, I hope.
Oh, yes. Yes. There's lots of things coming our way, and we're going to get to choose by our moment-by-moment decisions of how we think and feel as to what actually we draw into our experience. But I see two very different worlds evolving simultaneously, and I'm glad it's this week and not last, because towards the beginning of last week, I kind of hit bottom myself. And what happens when the visionary and the leader of the band loses it?
You know? Tell me about it.
But I had said to someone on Sunday that if I could have jumped off my balcony and ended it all, I would have. But someone reminded me yesterday that my balcony wasn't tall enough, that all I do is hurt myself.
All right.
Oh,
well, you know, we've had our ups and downs over the last few years, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And you talk about this, the storm. I love that term because I really do think that describes what's going on. Would you care to explain what you mean by it?
Yes, I prefer, whether it's an illness or anything else, not to label it, because then we get all these preconceived ideas about what it is, and we try and link it to, historically, to something that was, and I prefer to just stay absolutely neutral. And that's why I named it the storm. And there's a lot of things going on for lots and lots of different reasons. And I prefer to look at this economic situation that is very global and as more of part of the ascension process and coming into a whole new way of functioning. I have been teaching about interdependence and economics and all kinds of things since early on in the 90s, and it's here. I actually thought that what we're experiencing now, based on what I could see, was going to happen in about 1995, but I keep saying we're not in this experience for the reasons we think. This is not about a depression or a recession or anything. It is an economic reset. And I've been trying to let people know intensely since 93 that capitalism and entrepreneurship basically were interchangeable words, but they weren't, in my opinion, and that an entrepreneur was enterprising. And but there had to be more than just greed-driven. So I talk a lot about what I call the authentic entrepreneur. But greed just kind of got the best of lots of people, and I think it was kind of our last hurrah here. We've had actually, as I see it, three different busts. The first one was the savings and loan. And then this one, the one after that, was the dot-com. And I kept telling people, and especially clients, that if the nature operated the way the dot-com world was, that we would have like a constant tsunami, because the tide has to flow. It comes in, it ebbs, it's in and out. You can't just go for ROI, return on investment. It just doesn't work that way. There's, you know, it's and it's the same in a business, but egos think they can do pretty much of anything. And so this last bust here is the housing bust. And I believe that, you know, there's a much deeper meaning to all of this, and that it's a major paradigm shift from operating from ego and corruption and deception to honesty, integrity, natural laws, and heart power. And so,
can you speak up, Janine? I'm having difficulty in hearing. I don't know if it's just me, but go ahead.
I'm speaking. I don't have a portable phone. I'm speaking right into the.
Oh, okay.
And I suppose
maybe,
I can raise my voice more.
Maybe. Well, maybe the producer might be hearing and could adjust it, because
okay,
I can
great.
Barely hear you.
Oh, okay.
Integrity. Boy, what a big piece that is in what you just said. Go
what
ahead.
What does integrity mean to you?
Well, I think it's being honest to myself, actually, and not fooling myself and others as well, and speaking the truth as best I can, and
well,
following what I say I'm going to do. You know, I mean, my word is very important to me. Does that make sense?
Yes, and it's also the root word of integrity is integration. So to me, I see that what we do, how we earn income, needs to be an extension of who we are. It has to be more soul-based. And there's lots of people that haven't cared how they brought money in and how they sustained a lifestyle. It really didn't matter to them as long as they were sustaining the lifestyle. And I think what a lot of people are experiencing right now, and I've talked to more people than I really cared to over the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, and many of them very traumatized, because how could this be happening, you know, and what are we going to do, and how am I going to salvage it, and what's the government going to do, and so on. And But I think it's just bringing us to our spiritual knees. And for a long time, I've talked about business spirituality as one word. And people would, you know, kind of their eyes would cross over when I would present these concepts, like, what planet did you come from? And, but, you know, that's
so they are they more accepting now that the bonds fallen out, or is that opening them up to hear, you know, these truths that you...
Well, it's been interesting, and that's an interesting question, because it has taken stages. There are people in a variety of stages of disbelief and hoping that it's going to get better, and just kind of wait and see now till after the election. There's a lot of shame that I'm discovering. A lot of people are saying, I feel really stupid because I really don't know anything about finance or economics.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people are kind of just hunkering down and hoping the storm will pass. But as their bills become due and they don't have the money, there's all kinds of stuff that's entering people's minds. So,
It's almost like there was a big initial panic is what I was sensing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you sense now? What's going on now?
I think there's a lot of people right now in a wait and see mode,
mm-hmm.
and so they're waiting. Kind of the powers that be are putting a lot of emphasis, of course, on the election and what's going to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of a distraction from what's been happening. And there's people that are really hoping that, you know, whoever becomes our next president is going to be able to wave their magic wand and make this better.
I'm serious. I mean, that's kind of unrealistic. I mean, we are in deep doo-doo right now. It's you know, asking for a savior to come along is a bit mythical.
Yes.
To say the least.
Well, what I have been doing is I first created a program I called The Storm, and I was trying to explain what's happening and why from a historical perspective. And so I went back into some of my files and realized that I had done a talk way back in 1997, and it was called Having It All, How to Flourish in the New Prosperity Paradigm. And in order to do that talk, what I did was a history of money and usury and the whole system going back early on into, you know, let's say the early ADs, 500 AD till current, and what was going on. And I just created an awareness for people of where did money, the concept of money, come from? How did we do it? You know, I grew up on a farm in central Wisconsin for my first 10 years, and so a lot of our life was about barter. It was just a way of life. You know, we'd go to church, and on the way back, we'd stop at all these different places, and we'd exchange this for that and this for that, and between growing our own things and our canning and all of those things, there weren't a lot of needs. And then I took it through 1913 when the Federal Reserve System was created, and how all of that evolved through the 30s, and then how the dollar became the standard of international trade in the late 40s, and, you know, then how America just soared and we were the superpower and so on, and what's happening now. So that has helped a lot of people to get more than a 30-second sound bite,
mm-hmm.
and kind of put pieces in place, and that's been really helpful for a lot of people.
The history does help. There's no question that it certainly... We can then see how the pieces fit together and why we're in this mess.
A lot of people were saying to me, oh, I remember that. That's right. I resisted credit cards, too. Well, how did we get into credit cards, and
mm-hmm.
how did we get into being into a debt-based society, which really didn't really go into full gear until the early to mid-80s? And then what were the repercussions of all of that?
Mm-hmm.
We were
living on borrowed time ever since the Fed kicked in 1913.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like a major turning point in our history as a nation to even create our own money. I mean, it's not nationalized, which, you know, I always thought it was, like, up until, like, 10 years ago, you know. And then I recognized, boy, I was fooling myself about this whole economics of our country.
Yes.
And, you know, I think people have just been so educated from what's gone on.
Well, and then also, I have a pet peeve with the whole foundation of economists and their belief system, because the economist's whole belief system says the law of supply and demand.
Hmm.
But when you understand energy and you understand how everything works, that whole thing doesn't hold water to us. It's a BS, because when you have and use clear intentionality, the universe has to deliver. So if we understand that the whole premise of what we've been believing is false.
Yeah, well, I would have caved in a long time ago with my business if that's what I had believed.
Mm.
You know, and I know a lot of us who run our own business, you know, and who are in metaphysics and so forth are out there on a limb, and we're really pioneering our own a new grid. And I guess my question is, talk about the economics. What is that about? Is that the Jesse Jackson economics that kicked in 20 years ago or so?
I don't have any idea about what that is, but there was a woman living in San Diego, actually, when I met her in July of 1990. Her name is Catherine Chardon, and she created or brought through a whole system actualization model, and the work that she did was called the Science of Evology. And so Abraham Maslow had his hierarchy of needs, and you were supposed to take care of your basics, and then you could actualize at the apex of the triangle. Well, that particular afternoon, I've laughed a lot because when I talked to Catherine, and she's going to be 90 in February, I would say to her, Catherine, that was the best worst afternoon of my life, because I was 40 at that time, and I had belief systems that I had explored and learned about different things, and I thought I had figured out a whole bunch of stuff. And she showed me that everything in our society was asked backwards to the laws of nature, and that they were set up by our egos, and that there actually is a blueprint that we can use to evolve ourselves consciously. And she told me that day that was the same model that universes and planets use to birth themselves. Well, trust me, I had no idea that I'd never even thought about a planet or a universe and how they birthed themselves, and nor how we were birthing ourselves. So with the science of evology, there's a 9-level model, and it's not hierarchical. You don't do 1, 2, 3, and so on, but you determine where you're at in your own evolutionary process. And levels 1, 2, and 3 are based in the material world. 8, 9, and 10, or 7, 8, and 9, are based in the world of spirit. But it's a way to weave our spirituality and our human self together and do it consciously. Well, when you're in levels 1, 2, and 3, you live in the material world and the world of capitalism and the world that the majority of people live in. But when your soul comes knocking and it's time for the era of your heart and soul, then you have a different lesson plan. And so economics has personal economics for how we source our income. And when we're in different levels of our evolutionary process, we just have a different lesson plan. You, I, and others, lots of others, have been launched into levels 4 and 5 for a number of years, and so therefore we've had to, regardless of what mainstream was doing, we would have to source our income differently because we were on a different lesson plan. So,
and what level is that called?
Which?
Four.
Four is the era of the heart and soul.
Okay.
And then five is the level of integration, where you no longer would say that I'm right brain and you're left brain, or I'm a giver and you're a taker, or, you know, masculine or feminine. It's where you just simply flow one into another. It's just an expanded range of consciousness. And really, what is an economic system? It's a consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things in economics that I help people to understand is socialism, communism, capitalism as monetary systems. And then what economics is an expanded range of consciousness beyond those ranges of consciousness. And that's what I see happening right now, is a whole bunch of people are being just catapulted into a whole different lesson plan. And if they can understand it and have a conscious awareness of it, they can just move through this whole shift with ease, but they're going to have to make radical changes in how they live their lives, how they source money, how they save money, we've come into what's called a circulation consciousness, and minimalism, and getting back to what's real, and isn't that really what's happening?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is interesting. It sounds like the chakra system, actually.
It is.
Okay, it's pretty obvious. But, you know, Spiral Dynamics uses it, too, and a number of integral studies use those 7-8 stages. And this sounds like it really does resonate with a lot of people. It's just an easily understood model
mm-hmm.
to go by. And so this economics is the, you call it the true value.
True value, because there has to be true value. In other words, we have to be vested. We as a person have to be vested. When you get into level five, when you're in level four, you begin to ask questions about, okay, so what's my purpose? Why am I here? And it becomes a real nagging thing with inside of people when they get into that place. Most people get into level four through a severe crisis. It could be relationship, it could be physical, it could be financial, but they don't generally on their own go there. But their soul comes knocking, and that's the time for people to say, okay, who am I really? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing with myself? How do I make money while making a difference? You know, how do I take my soul with me into my work? And that's a soul-searching time. When you're in level five, you're here to be a living legacy. And so instead of waiting to be discovered until, you know, you're long gone or whatever, people are to be present in whatever contributions they're making to humanity. And so, and I said, kind of just flip the other day to someone, we don't need any more babies on this planet. We need to be co-creators. We don't need to procreate. We need to co-create planetary transformation projects. It's the same energy, but that's all, again, a part of economics and the science of evology.
Now, some would say that we're, on a collective level, we're like at the adolescent stage. Are you saying that
you
we're...
You mean preschool?
And it's funny because you mentioned babies, and I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe we have regressed even back to that level. At times, I mean, you know, these stages that kind of intertwine between back and forth. And, of course, my concern is that some will regress, actually, due to this crisis that we're in. Is that possible?
I just basically have another flip comment. You got three choices right now. You can transform, T-R-A-N-C-E, form, struggle or die. And transform means come out of the program that you are a 3D, finite, little nothing you know, 5 cents reality that gets programmed in through the wonderful institutions and all the people that are repeaters and, you know, trying to keep everybody into this, the same place. Or you can be the multidimensional consciousness that we truly are and come from that place. And then whatever we're experiencing here will be experienced from a very different place.
Well, my sense is, regardless of what level you might be on, you're getting an opportunity to jump a level. Am I right about that?
Yeah. Yeah. We can just wake up. We've been asleep. I was asleep.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of really tough lessons because I was a real type A, a real make it happen kind of person. And I started working when I was 15, and I did a lot of things in my life. And I'm glad for those experiences. But I came to the end of my rope when I was, right now in 1980, when I was 30 years old. And I just started being shown the futility of supporting a lifestyle that literally was not connected to my soul whatsoever. And so I took a really tough tumble, and mine was physical, and I nearly died. And when I was ready to take my last breath, I just basically screamed out to the universe, and I said, "Let me live, and I will do what I came here to do." Now, if anyone's listening, I would suggest that you might think about that before you do those kinds of statements, because almost instantly I was granted my wish, but away went the marriage, and away went the job, and away went all the belief systems about who I was and how I was living, and it was just like I was plopped over into a new universe and said, okay, here's why you're here. So if anyone is listening and you go to my website, please do not think that was who I was before I crashed in 1980. I had no idea that all of this stuff was in me and that I needed to bring this. This was my job, to bring this to humanity.
And mention your website.
What's that?
How do people go to your website?
It's Visionaries, A-R-I-E-S, University.org.
Excellent.
And there's tons of information. You can go to the intro.
Oh, it's a great website.
Curriculum. Yes, it is. And you can go to articles and, you know, you can spend some time there. If you're a new paradigm builder, it's a great place because you're going to feel like you found home. I'd also like to suggest to the listeners that if you want to pick up a book that was actually published in 1993, I'm rereading it for about the 8th or 10th time, but it was written by Stuart Wilde, W-I-L-D-E. It's called Whispering Winds of Change. And it's almost as if it was written this morning for what we're experiencing now. But he speaks in there of the spiritual and energetic changes that are going on. And the first chapter is about the collapse of the world ego. So if we can stand back and take a mountaintop view of the economic, you know, whatever is going on here, the storm, but realize that this is the collapse of a world ego, then the next chapter is on tribal, the tribal spirit, getting out of the collective tribal consciousness. The next chapter is how to become a fringe dweller, meaning live in the world, but in your own world at the same time. And the rest of the chapters are also very, very wonderful, and they will calm people down.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I just want to mention to my audience that you've been listening to my guest, Janine Just, and this is Carrie L's HeartLink Show. And Janine's website is visionariesuniversity.org. And that's visionaries, in the plural, and university, .org. So please do check out the website. And Janine, do you have anything coming up in the near future that you'd like to announce? Or?
Well, I've got teleseminars where I go into what we're talking about here today. I think that's the most important part right now, is to walk people through a whole different understanding. I call it my mountaintop view, but a whole different understanding of what's going on, so that each person can make better conscious choices for them, their families, their clients, because they have a conscious awareness of things. So that's the most important with me at the moment.
Wonderful. And I'm going to announce the 800 numbers so people can call in now if they would like to and ask Janine your questions about your finances or in general. The U.S. toll-free number is 877-876-5227. And the Canada toll-free number is 888-815-9756. And the direct number is 530-876-3222. And Janine, you were talking about decisions that people are making these days and how to help their financial destiny and take more control over that. Can you give us any specifics? What maybe some of the listeners can do?
Sure, I'd love to. The first is, it is time to simplify, hunker down. There's lots of people who are sharing houses, they're doing all kinds of things, but this is not a time to go spend, spend, spend. And I keep saying to people, please think global, but act local. What's really important is that one thing we can do is manage our own vibrational frequency. When we're in fear, that actually takes its toll on many, many levels. One of them is it activates the root chakra, which is our survival chakra, which stimulates, you know, the adrenaline in our system, and it throws people way off kilter. A lot of people are explaining to me these days that they're not sleeping well, that they're just like stressed out all the time. And I'm asking for people to exercise, to go for a walk, you know, make sure that they take care of their physical body as part of this process.
And Janine, we do have a caller online.
Well,
so
good.
Let's hear from the caller and your name, please, and where you're calling from. Hello? Do we have a caller? All right. Well, hopefully we'll get a caller back.
Oh, yes.
Unfortunately, they hung up.
The other thing is that people can start doing is to understand that in around 2003 in November, all of humanity, the energy vibration on this planet, kicked into a higher frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the frequency of abundance. And so right now, in any moment, there's the old fear that's collapsing our energy field and making us afraid and all those kinds of things, and putting us into poverty and scarcity. And that was kind of the way of the Piscean era for the last 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in that anymore.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we've moved into the Aquarian age, and that Aquarian era is a 2,000-year cycle. And we started that in about 1881, 1888, started to kick into a higher gear in 1945, and it is really kicking into high gear. So there are going to be those that truly flourish in these times because they're going to catch that wave, and it's not abundance meaning wealth and, you know, a big bank balance, mm-hmm, and, you know, those kinds of things, but it's the universe is totally abundant. I live in Laguna Beach, and one of the things I so love here is 12 months out of the year, we have the most awesome collection of flowering trees and bushes. And coming from the Midwest, everything dies in the winter. And I walk around sticking my head in all these plants, you know. Look at the number of roses on a rose bush. Look at the number of flowers on a bougainvillea bush. This is what's natural. The economy has been manipulated globally for the scarcity with the law of supply and demand and all that kind of thing. And so let those people that choose to live in that reality live in that reality. Surround yourself with people who are going for their dreams and making money while making a difference, and you'll, you know, catch that wave and ride into this new world that's already here. And I think that's why the systems are really falling apart, mm-hmm. is because the new vibrations are here, and they won't sustain the old compete and fight and struggle and all those kinds of energies.
Well, many of us who have reached that consciousness beyond the materialistic have been vibrating at this more humanistic level. And certainly it's this group, I think this collective group that has helped to stimulate some of the collapses, actually, for a good purpose. Of course, the combination of all the negativity as well has helped to stimulate the collapse. So, but there is a divine plan that's mm-hmm. at work here, and a greater reality that's at work.
Well, and one of the things, too, is for anyone who has an inclination to music, if you listen to Man from La Mancha and Don Quixote, has really all of our answers right now. And whether he saw his squire, or whether he saw, you know, his lovely woman he called Dulcinea, or the song The Impossible Dream, to dream the impossible dream, I would say dream the possible dream. But regardless of what is appearing around us, the vigil right now, and it takes very, very a powerful intention to only see what you want to see so that you create that, because this new world is an energy world. And so if you're vibrating in fear and scarcity and powerlessness, and you cannot be vibrating up there in a higher frequency where there's abundance and freedom and creative expression. This is the world, this is the time we're all going to get real. I've had a fun thing. I made a graphic some time ago of a man with one of those thought banners going across his forehead. And I said on the caption, what if we all walked around knowing that people were reading the thought banner of the thoughts that were going through our head? What thoughts would we be thinking? And just picture that for a minute. You know, how many of us really want people to see what we're really thinking? So, but also to move into this place of interdependence, not the John Wayne model, but interdependence. If you and I, Carrie L., put our heads together and we really decided we were going to create a synergistic force, there would be so many things that we could transform, mm-hmm. just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people think that this thing is totally overwhelming and there's all these people that are in the know. But the truth is that if we go to how energy works, and if we look at counterbalancing energies, maybe it takes 1 to 10% of the total population to wake up. And they will just then trigger, it's like a scale, you know,
mm-hmm.
they'll trigger the rest of the people waking up. Isn't this fun?
Yeah, someone said it was 11%, but
whatever. But if we get out there and we start, you know, taking our placard and going out on the street, and people are calling me and they say, Janine, we need to get out there and we need to revolt. We, the people, have got to revolt. I said, you go right ahead and do it. I find that revolting. You know, what I want to do is I call it the revelation revolution. Wake up to new realities. Wake up to the world of energy and how things really work. Mm-hmm. And then this game becomes a fun game.
Well, and when you look at, you know, how reality is, you know, we're living in an illusionary world that literally we can change with our perception. Just as you say, there, if you're vibrating at a higher level, you start perceiving things differently. And you don't start, you don't have the shadow so much. I mean, that's the piece here, I think. What I'm aware of as a therapist is people are externalizing their shadow. So that's why we're seeing all this collapse. And when we integrate, when we start owning the shadow and integrating it, then we won't have the wars or the economic problems. We won't need the bailouts. And so much of this is like a metaphor for our own lives.
I just heard that when you said it.
Yeah.
And even they couldn't figure out if it was a bailout or what was the other word?
Rescue. Yeah.
A rescue.
Yeah. I mean, it's just such a metaphor. And so, you know, when we start taking it and working with this information, it's actually kind of neat, how quickly you can move through your own shadow material.
Yep, exactly. Well, and the other part that's played into this to me is a lot about religion. You know, because whether you look at karma or whether you look at sin, to me they're kind of the basic, same basic concept, different brand, you know. But there's no way that we can work through all those painful things. We can just wake up and say, well, that's what I did then, or that's what happened then, and how am I going to live now, and how am I going to choose to function now? I ask people to please do not go back and process all your crap, because you're going to bring that into the present time.
Yeah, it's not about that. It's not about getting stuck in the emotional component here. It really is just identifying the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And then rewriting it,
right?
You know, taking a whole new approach to your story.
Yeah, and I say when the people lead, the leaders will follow. But what are we leading with? And I say to lead with a powerful vibrational frequency that you carry, and you can manage that. We're only a choice, in my opinion, about one thing in this world, and that's how we respond. We can respond from what I call the shrinking person, where we go into this, oh, my God, and you just think of a shrinking person. Or we can respond from our spiritual dimensions and from a shaman's place. And when we do that, it's a totally different response. And so the most important thing is to manage what you can manage. You can manage your own responses. You can manage your own energy. You can take care of yourself and your family and then your community. But don't go out there and try and save the world. There's nothing out there that needs saving. It'll all take care of itself.
Yeah. Obviously, we really can't control the rest of the world. The only thing that we can have charge over is ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's really that knowing yourself that is so important right now.
Yep.
And knowing what it is that you really do believe from the subconscious level.
Yeah, well, and remembering, too, that it's who we are that makes a difference. In my work of 25 years of being a human potential advocate and, you know, of entrepreneur's advocate and a crusader for lots of different things, but it's like owning our power is just really, really important. And when we, and I would like to give the listeners a little exercise that really makes so much difference. For 500 years, we've been worshiping the intellect, the ego personality self, and we got this like huge bubble on our shoulders. We call it our head, but there's just a lot more energy concentrated there. But a simple exercise that makes so much difference, because there is no wisdom in the intellect. The wisdom is in your heart and your heart center. So what I have people do is to put their hands on their heart and their solar plexus area and begin to by taking in a very deep breath through your mouth or your nose, and then exhaling it through your heart center. So when you inhale, you'll just feel your hands really expand and expand and expand. And then as you release the breath, you just feel your belly and your stomach and your whole rib cage contract. And to access your own innate wisdom and activate the heart center, I would suggest you do one on the in-breath, two on the exhale, three on the in-breath, and count to, you know, at least 7 or 8. But if you'll go to 50 or 100 or 200, you will just be resonating with energy inside of your body. And then when you go to make decisions, you're going to be thinking with your heart. And it's a totally different way to function. You'll be more grounded. You'll be more centered. So if fear comes in, and fear will, if you'll just do that heart breath and just breathe in and out, you're changing your focus to the center of your body, to your heart chakra. And interestingly enough, the heart chakra resonates to the color green. And what color has our money been? And so the heart chakra is actually where we're going to actually be able to manifest more money through when we activate that part of us rather than living in our intellect. Isn't that exciting?
And I support that. Boy, that felt good to me. it really is the authentic self,
mm-hmm.
is what you're talking about.
Yeah, and where is our gut feel? Where is our seat of wisdom? It's not in our heads. And so by just putting your hands on that part of your body and breathing in through the mouth and then out, just keeping your focus of attention on your hands, moving in and out and in and out, you'd be surprised at how much more peaceful you'll feel and the clarity that will come through to help you make the decisions that you need to make.
Now, you talk about going within does not necessitate going without.
Isn't that great?
I love that.
Yeah. You know, on my spiritual path, as I was waking up, and I didn't necessarily do it to the degree that some other of my colleagues and friends did, but it was like, if you're on the spiritual path, then you have to give away all your earthly possessions, and then you can come into your spirituality. And I want to say it's a bunch of hogwash. You know, that may work for some people, and maybe it's things that people want to do, but it's not mandated. You do not have to. Going within does not necessitate going without. And especially in the new abundance paradigm. And I want to talk about abundance and what it really is. When I help people to clarify their five core values and what really makes a difference to them in their life and how they're supposed to be living their life, so often people choose abundance as one of their core values. But the way they're really hearing it is, I'm choosing money. Mm-hmm. And so I get to give them a little lesson about what does it really mean. And I said, would you read the first words after abundance? And it says, feeling rich. And I want to say to everyone listening here today, you are already rich. Maybe it's time to get wealthy. But we're already rich. And when we define rich as being, I mean, look how many cells we have in our body. Look at how much creativity we have. Look about how many ideas or how much curiosity or how many friends or, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we come from a scarcity model and we think we look at our bank balance and say whether we're abundant or not.
Mm-hmm.
It has so little to do with anything. But feeling rich, looking around, and just being so grateful for your fingernails, for every hair on your head, for the thoughts that you can think and the feelings that you can feel, and just start, if you're having any difficulties with money, start with gratitude. Start with appreciation for all that you are, all that you do have. And when I said earlier that who you are is what makes a difference, I mean that with everything. When we evaluate ourselves on the soul level that we are, on the spirit that we are these divine, powerful old souls. You not only have this life's experiences to to draw on. What if you were a dancer? What if you were a singer? What if you were a big business person in another soul's experience on your soul's journey? When you calm down and connect with those levels of yourself, you have all that to draw on. Isn't that just amazing?
Well, yeah. We have a big resource, no question about it. Our potential is infinite. And
when we turn within rather than looking without.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so this year, if there's little money for Christmas gifts, well, maybe that's a good thing. You know, because what if we are the gift? What if getting together and singing some Christmas carols and doing a little potluck, meeting your neighbors on the street, or whatever it is. The heart, it's time for the heart. The heart wants things that bring us joy. I say to people, you know, grab somebody's hand and go walk at the beach. How much is that going to cost you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Janine, it's such a quick hour that we've had. I'll have to have you back. You're wonderful.
All righty. Can I share something? Are we about
sure
done
can.
Here?
Mm-hmm.
There's what I call the Equinomics Creed, and it said, if it aids self-reliance, localize it. If it works, prototype and replicate it. If it is universally beneficial, mainstream it. If it heals and holizes life forms, multiply it. And if it regenerates the life streams, then originate it. Get on with it. And there's an affirmative prayer for safe passage, and I love those words, affirmative prayer for safe passage. Universal Spirit, loving masters and teachers, guide me to make all transitions safely. Let me know the best way to thrive and not just survive. Please alert me as to how to best make my safe passage from the current unjust financial systems. Mm-hmm. My intention is for all projects to service life beneficially. And so it is.
Wonderful.
Isn't that lovely?
Oh, thank you. And people, you've been listening to my guest, Janine Just. And she is a visionary success strategist. And her website is visionariesuniversity.org. And this is Carrie L's Heartlink Show, and I want to thank you again, Janine, for having being on my show, and it's been so interesting. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for all that you're doing as well, because the heart link, we are linking up. Hearts connect, and that's what's really important in these times, is to allow that. So thank you so much for all that you're doing, too.
Oh, you're welcome. And I want to thank BBS Radio for allowing us to have shows that expand our consciousness. And listen next time when I'll have Ruth Goodman on, who will be sharing the Sacred Book of You. And also, please do go to my website, heartlinkinstitute.com. And I'm Carrie L., and this has been Carrie L.'s Heartlink Show. And thank you for listening. I'm so glad we've been able to connect and broaden our horizons toward more freedom, light, and love. Have a great day.